I think it loves to hear your heart. In honesty and truth, up to him. Let's make him smile. Let's make him happy. I believe he's pleased. Would you bow with me, please? Heavenly Father, it's a love affair, truly. You and your children. How long you have poured your love into all of us. I'm wondering this morning, have you been waiting so long for us to express our deep love and faith back to you? But I believe it's happening. I believe you're working in your children, showing them the depths of your love. And waiting in expectation for us to say how thankful we are for that love. Because as the scripture says, we love you because you first loved us. Receive our love back to you, Father, from honest hearts, sincere hearts, hearts that you have given everything that you are to redeem. And now, I think the greatest thanksgiving that you can receive is we, out of love to you, receive everything from you with thanksgiving. And say, Lord, we believe you. We believe your love to us, for us. We believe your light shined over us. We believe the word that you've given us. And we know it's not just head knowledge. It has the very creative power of all that you are. And we feel that creative power working in the fibers of our being, Lord, to make us you. Became us, that we might become you. That's what your prophet said, and we believe it. And that word fulfilled in us, the highest praise of back to you. Let it be. Oh, that we commit the service now into your hands. Have your way, the preeminence over every one of us. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you. God bless you. God bless you. Sister Delia, ¿cómo se siente hoy? Gloria a Dios. Amen. All is well. Afshin, you're here. God bless you. Daniel, Carlins, and even Laura and David. Wow. Nehemiah, nice to see you. You can make it when you see it. Oh, Okay. Let's get in. We're going to have an, well, I call it an old-fashioned Bible study. Get your Bibles off, dust them out, and see if they're still open. And because we got to get back into so much more into John 17. Now, in doing so, because one thing you see in the scripture leads to another scripture that leads to a quote that leads to another scripture, okay, that leads to another quote. And pretty soon you'll see patterns. So I see here in John 17, do you know what I see? I see the seventh seal. I see so many things about this day. Now, I'm going to take just a minute, because I think when I say certain words, fear is going to rise in our heart. So when I say just the word seals, I can feel it up here. Alarm bells go off, okay? Yeah. So I know that the last thing any of us ever have wanted or do want is head knowledge, intellectualism. But the seals are there. And one of the major events of this end time message, right? So if we say, okay, I want to understand them, then it brings my heart to his heart. Say, Lord, I want to understand you. Okay, so next, when I use the word open book, okay, why do I use that word? It's because Brother Branham refers to the seals as a book of redemption. Over and over and over. And does he? Okay, and what that book of redemption opened means is that we can go back to everything he designed us to be that Satan has lost his grip on us. And Satan's going to hold your mistakes and shortcomings and sin over your head. And God has broken all of those chains. Okay? So when I use the word open book, what is that? Do you know what it is, simply? It's everything he preached after the seals. It's that simple. Okay? It's everything he preached after the seals. Okay? And I've said that for years. I said, look at all these. Okay, and what did he tell you? He told you the secret of your life, right? He told you where you came from. He told you where you're going. Okay? He told you that you were in eternity all along. So I'm trying to take the fear, I'm trying to take you down some intellectual pathway that we have some unique revelation. Okay? Get that out of your heads. I'm just trying to see what he said, okay, to embrace everything he said. And sometimes that is correction from things that I thought previously? Well, it usually is, but it's all to help us. Okay? Let's go to this verse in John 17. Because I believe this is the, you could put this in the middle of the message. Oh, yes. John 17. And I, would you please thank Philip when you guys go out of church every day and tell him, say, hey, you put up with that old relic up behind the pulpit. His patience is... Yeah. John 17, 13, Philip. Okay. And I believe that if the prophet were standing here this morning, that he would speak these very words and say, this is my message. This is the whole message. This is why the seals were opened. Okay? It's not that you might have a unique revelation, but you might have his mind. Okay. Now look at this Alpha and Omega. And let's read it out loud together. Okay? And now I come to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. So what's God's heart? Does he want to hold you down? Does he want to keep you in chains? I came to set the captives free. I came to speak good news to the poor, right? Okay. He came to be our help. He came to do what we couldn't do for ourselves. And all of this is good news. Okay. So when I say I'm going into the seals, please don't be afraid. When I say, let's go into the open book, please don't be afraid. You've been in the open book for years. Okay? All of these wonderful things he preached when the seals, and I do love how Brother Alistair has taught, what is a seal? It's a resistance. Okay. Okay, that book of redemption, okay, something was holding us back from becoming God's intended creation of everything perfect. Okay. And so that seal had, it's a hindrance. Okay, and one of those hindrances is for White Horse Rider, a religious spirit, right? Isn't it interesting that a religious spirit can hold you back from everything that God wants you to be? It's mind-blowing. Yeah. A religious spirit will always keep you held down. Okay. But look at these truths. I am a sinner saved by grace. Is that true? Sure it is. But what does the religious spirit say? They, don't you ever forget that. Don't you ever forget that. You're just a sinner. But God somehow had mercy on you, lousy worm of a person. Come light this candle. Okay? Come light this candle. Come bow before this statue, come repeat this liturgy, you know? Okay, but all of a sudden the chains are broken, and God says to you, that is true, but let me show you so much more. Let me show you God saw you before time began. Let me show you that you're a part of Him. Let me show you you really weren't saved on any certain day here.
Mm-hmm.
Let me show you you were always saved.
Uh-huh.
Okay, look at these things. These are chains broken. These are things that hold us down into the physical realm of total incompetence. Total, hey, that's really good. Thank Derek for helping me tonight too, please. Bless his heart. And thank the Lord for, he's breaking chains. Yeah, and he's setting us free. Daniel, that's the whole thing. That spirit that holds people down, okay, Revelation 17 and 18, the great whore sitting on waters, right? Waters, it says right there, are people. Okay. I will let you talk about Jesus all day long. That's exactly what the prophet said in God of this Evil Age. Just don't bring him present tense. And whatever you do, don't bring it that God is manifested in flesh before us to break the chains that bind us. So you can be what He designed you to be. Does that help? So I hope this, when I say things like seals or open book, oh, please get that out of your head. I'm not trying. We don't want some unique, specialized, I got a revelation nobody has. I got head knowledge. I got, you know. We just want to see what God has given to us. Okay? So, speaking of John 17, let's go to 2 Corinthians 3, because John 17, there's the glory is that we've been sort of looking at. So, PJ asked last time, would you define between a verb and a noun? And, okay, so, you know, I have that wonderful, I think you all should find it, Vine's Dictionary of New Testament Words. So, it's so rich. And that's where I got my information. Okay, glory is sort of hard to understand. You know, as we've said in the Old Testament, it's simply weight, which you could say is the power of His presence. It's so affecting everything around it. Okay. Now remember how we brought that right to you. And that weight of His presence affects those around you in your workplace. Okay? So it's there in us. But then in the New Testament, it's also refers to the manifestation of all that He is and has. So when has the bride been exposed to a manifestation of all that He is and has? through the ministry of God in a man, Simple Kentuckian, that God continuously vindicated, this is my voice and I'll prove it to you. So how many times have we heard Brother Branham say, if I have told you the truth, okay, he will come on the scene now, right? Hey, come on, you guys, clear into 1965. So did he lose his anointing? This is going on in 1965. Okay, now with my back to the audience, okay, you know, and I know our kids were little when the West family came. We had dinner with them in the motel we were. And we met that man. He says, I was sitting there when he got Brother Branham preaching, who is this Melchizedek? And he says, I was sent there by my church to find fault and to criticize. Okay. And he had in his baby, in his arms, excuse me, a baby that was born without a palate in her upper mouth. And the baby started to fuss. And he got up and started to walk out. And this was he wasn't used to hearing the voice of God or anything. He got up and started to walk, and something caught a hold of him and said, go back to your seat. And it shocked him. And the baby immediately became quiet, quit fussing. And then he said, prophet with his back turned to the audience, said, there's a man back there. He's holding a baby, and it has heart problems. And he said, I immediately broke in tears. And he says, Lord, my baby doesn't have heart problems. It was a man directly behind him, sitting in the chair right behind him. And that man got up and started crying. And that baby was healed. And then he said, there's another man. Listen, he called him by name. Huh? Yeah. Now, if God is here, he's going to back me up. And he calls a stranger out with his back turned to the audience. Okay? The same sign that God gave Abraham with his back to the tent. Who's here? This isn't man. It's God using man. God's filling man. Okay? So, and he said, right after that, your name is Brother West. You have a baby, and the whole thing was right there. Says, we've never been, my whole family, we've never been the same. Oh, just so amazing. So, here, brothers and sisters, the mystery of the seals, huh? Okay. And I've told you so many times, go back. And I have, God in simplicity. First, how he starts. Let's get through that so we can get to the seals. Why does he spend that and then the next night is not? Oh, that's the seals for sure. No, that's the breach. And those are so critically important. And he even says, you can't understand the seals till I have set these two things before you. So here is this incredible thing. Christ, the mystery of God revealed. What is Christ? God in man. So here, I'm just going to read these two little things here I have underlined. Again, God in simplicity. Okay, he's talking about God sending a deliverer.
Habla de Dios enviar un liberador.
Talking about himself, comparing himself with Moses. He says it's the simplicity of it. It's simple.
De la simplicidad de esta.
That's where God lies.
Esta es donde Dios está.
Now notice again in Moses' day.
Mira en la día de Moisés.
Okay, when God was about to do something,
hacer algo,
listen, to deliver.
Para liberar,
okay? Now this time it's a spiritual deliverance, right? God sends a message to the people, and it's so simple. Do you hear that? Simple. We're not trying to become intellectuals. We want a word that affects everything of me. Right? We want a word that has transforming power. Okay? We want a word that changes the atmosphere of things around me. Right? We want God in us. So then he says, we'll catch this in the breaking of the seals. And he says, this is my purpose of bringing this first. Now he makes two kings. He said, speaking to Moses, he sent a simple human being. Okay. Born in a simple family. In a bunch of slaves. Okay, oh my. What a God he is, unfolding himself in simplicity. Then he talks about Elijah. Isn't that interesting? Moses and Elijah. He says, what was it? It was God hiding himself. Okay. God hiding in simplicity. Okay, then he keeps going on to that. This is God in simplicity. Is God in flesh. So all of a sudden, here we see this. How many years we have looked at the cloud? It wasn't until 1965. He didn't understand it when it was going on. Okay? So in Acts chapter 2, they said, Jesus went up into a cloud. And he said, I will come back the same way. So when the seals were opened, he saw a cloud. And what did he say that cloud was? The seven angels. Right? Seven angels. Seven men. All, come on, all the way down. They were seven men. But then in 1965, when he's trying to tell you who you are, the Spirit says, turn that picture to the right. Okay. And he sees seven men. He says, that's Christ. Isn't that? So did he come back in clouds just like he...
Amen.
Just like he went? So remember, okay, we read this quote, but there's so many things that he says. Listen, we're just trying to believe what he said. Okay? And I believe if we believe what he said, we will become what he said we would become. Right? Now, here. 2 Corinthians 3. Okay, so we're going back to this. And the point I just want to bring out this morning, Moses went up to receive the tablets again, and he is coming back down from the mountain, and he is totally unaware of the fact that his head is glowing. Okay? What is that all about? Why is his head glowing? And he's not even aware of it. Okay? Because he had been in the presence of God. And that presence came down. And here is a man saying, I came from the presence of God. And what I am saying is not from me. Okay? It's from him. Okay? So they told him to put a veil over his face. Right? Okay? So here it is. A man comes down with a law. What did the law have? Death, condemnation. That's what Brother Branham says. Nothing could help us. But that was glorious because God says, this is for me. Okay? Now, here's what's so interesting. They couldn't see that glory. He had to have his face covered. What couldn't they see? Verse 13, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, okay, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which was abolished. What was the end of that which was abolished? The law. Who was the end of the law? Jesus. So they couldn't see Jesus because their minds were blinded. What couldn't they see? The presence of God in human. Right? Come on, that's the same thing. That's the same thing as you and me are today, Brother Branham told you. You are God veiled to the people, right? But they sense something because when you walk into a room at work, the atmosphere changes. The language changes, Daniel, right? Is that true? Okay. Oh, we have to watch how we speak because Nehemiah is present. Yeah. Okay. So here again, there's another blinding of this day, and the blinding is seals, religious spirits. A religious spirit. Okay. Now listen, this is exactly what Brother Branham says about Billy Graham. Bless his heart, he was one of those two angels that went down to Sodom through him and Oral Roberts. What did he say? And I'm not calling Billy Graham a religious spirit. God used him. What did Billy Graham point to, though? Cross past tense. Okay, this is what we've been trying to get you through the blood, the redemption. They only see it past tense. Okay, remember that, Daniel? Okay, and he says, Brother Branham says that Billy Graham blinded the eyes. Same thing as here, to keep them from seeing God in a man today. Okay, can you, is that hard to understand? Is that simple? Okay, so here we see this. Okay, so until this day, they still can't see the same thing. But because the seals opened, we can go to verse 18 now. Thank you, Philip. You're so good. But we all with open face beholding as in a glass. Our face has been unveiled. Okay. We're seeing the essence of the Lord. The manifestation of his presence. And as I look at that, I'm changed into the image of what I'm not all at once. Okay, but from glory to glory. It just gradually keeps adding and adding. So every time I look in the mirror, I see more of him. Yeah. Isn't that beautiful? So when you look in the mirror and see more of him, then you say, oh, more chains are breaking. More chains are breaking. The word of God is having its effect. I'm free to become what he said the bride would become. Right? Is this making sense? Is it coming together? Okay. So let's get the fear of words. Words, we have put meaning of our own interpretation on those words. Okay. To bind us again. So I hope this is helping you get set free. Okay, we've been looking at the open book for years, we just didn't label it that. But now we can see, oh, he's redeeming me. Okay, now it's already done. It's like we read on Easter Sunday about potential. Okay, don't worry. Have faith. He that began that work will perform it, will finish it, will accomplish it, right? Amen. And we read those wonderful quotes about potential. But it's there. And it's the chains gradually keep releasing themselves. Okay. So here, again, a couple things that I read, just this keeps opening up. He's talking about spiritual food in due season. And this is his last time in Jeffersonville before God takes him home. So that whole series. Yeah, in August, July and August of 1965. I liken them to a man on his deathbed. Okay. And his family is surrounding them. And you're going to things that you want your family to know. Okay. The most important things you've even kept in your heart. Okay. So he's talking about the bride again in Christ. Okay. Talking about the mercy of the revelation of Jesus. Okay. He said, notice again, if the word is in us and has come to us, like it did Elijah, here you go, it'll do the same thing that he did. That's what we're interested in. We're interested in a word that does. Makes sense, Bethany? not just know, I want something that does something inside of me. Okay? A word that restores. A word that delivers. A word that sets us free. Nehemiah, is that making sense, Brad? Okay? Okay? And we go in to feed on the secret things of God. Okay. And that's here. And here it is again. This is what we've been talking about. Elijah, when he spoke, he spoke as if he was God himself. Elijah spoke as if he was God himself. He says, the dew will not fall from heaven until I call for it. Okay, and the prophet has been so long in the presence of God. Okay, and then he talks about the word and the message, him becoming one with the message. It was God speaking through the man. Okay, he had, thus saith the Lord. Okay, and he talks about him and the message becoming one. Then he talks about that cloud. And then he says, talks about his time with Brother Moore. He says, I couldn't make out Jesus. Okay. And a voice, he said something instead, turn it to the right. And he says, standing before me, there stood a man. He's looking at that picture. He's seeing seven angels. He says, I turned it to the right. I see a man. Here's the children of God, and I see Christ. Okay. It's, and then he talks, relates that to the seven seals. He says, it's been hid in the book. But here it is, a mystery. So what did man always have trouble finding and recognizing? God and man. Always. Okay? Which of the prophets have they not killed, right? So here we're coming in this day, and we see Jesus. Okay. There. 2 Corinthians 3:18. Another veil has been lifted in this day. Okay. And now, listen, brothers and sisters. Appreciate one another. Love one another. Okay. And when you look at each other, hey, what was it? Thomas looked. What a revelation when he saw Jesus. After the resurrection, and he bowed and he said, my Lord and my God. Okay. The world will call that blasphemy and heretic and everything else. But we call it revelation. So when we say, here's another fear, we are becoming Adam. Okay. Which was God coming down from the pillar of fire, the Logos, turned into a white, something he says less supernatural, okay, into the natural realm. There was God in flesh. So when we say he's bringing us back to God in flesh, are we ever thinking to be worshipped? Never, 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 don't allow that thought to enter your heads. Okay, when you say, I am becoming God in flesh, it's to magnify the one who, the Redeemer. It's to exalt the one who is doing it. Okay, it's to lift him up. No man with the Spirit of God in him desires any worship. Okay? Okay? Remember the angel in Revelation. I am of your fellow servants, the prophets. Don't you dare bow before me. Right? Worship God. So, these things, I know Satan can stop us and bring us into the chains of our thinking. And if you realize, just look at this. Here is God. You know, we've drawn it on the board so many years. And all of a sudden, a light begins to shine. And that is the Logos. Okay, and that's later becomes Melchizedek, as the prophet said. And later becomes Jesus. Now, what I want you to realize, if you go through the scriptures, any manifestation of God that comes out from him, that manifestation has to be subject to what it came out from. John 16. Okay. Well, let's go there. And here's where the Trinitarians get tripped up without understanding this. John 16. Okay. Now, this is Trinitarian food. It just is. Verse 13. Okay, thank you, Philip. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit, he will guide you into all truth. Okay, because he won't speak of himself. But what he shall hear, that shall he speak. So, see what the Trinitarians do? Oh, there has to be two persons. Okay. So that's why anything that comes out of God, the eternal Spirit, into manifestation, into tangibility, is subject to that which it came from. Look at that pattern. That is why Jesus said, I can't do anything of myself. When the sons of God have that revelation, okay, I came out, I'm a manifestation out from God, I am totally subject to that from which I came. There you go. Is that helping, brothers and sisters? Yeah, so you look that all through Scripture and you see that, and it doesn't make any difference what that manifestation is, the Holy Spirit, the sons, the prophets. All right. Little things put together. Is that helping, Lenore? Good. John, how are you doing? Making sense, brother? Okay. Nehemiah, you okay? Good. Daniel? Okay, Sam, how you doing today? God bless you, brother. Okay. Now, John 17. Because when I'm done, I want to get into some quotes from... Unveiling of God. It all ties up. Okay. So we've been through John 17. And we know that he's requesting to be glorified. Okay, and he says, the reason for his glorification that we might know the true God. Glory is manifestation of his, what his essence is. Okay, so only by that manifestation do we know the one true living God. Right? So hence, Nate, we see the message of the hour. That's it. That's why it had to be. Okay? He had to be identified as in Acts chapter 2 through infallible proofs. Okay? So here he says, verse 4, which we've been to, I have glorified thee on the earth. I finished the work. Okay, so here I have manifested thy name. So he's connecting the word glory and manifestation right there, which, okay. Now if you go back to John 12, and you look at two verses, you will see, and you can look at two verses, verse 23 and 28. Jesus answered them, saying, okay, the hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. In other words, he said, this time for the Son to be manifested what he, who and what he actually is. Okay. Then he says in verse 28, Father, glorify thy name. So then he says, no, he doesn't say that. I'm sorry. As I've read so many commentaries on this, verse 23 is, and verse 28 are saying the same thing. When the Son of Man is glorified, the name of the Father is glorified. Because they're the same thing. So that is verse 4 and verse 6. Okay. Now I'm going to jump to verse 11, back in John 17. Okay, now this is his prayer for all of us. And this is where it goes into prophecy. Okay, and verse 11. Okay, second part. Holy Father, keep through thine own name.
Padre Santo.
Okay. What in the world does that mean? You don't have to turn there. In John 13, just hours previous to this, Jesus is gathered with his disciples, and he's talking to them, and he's saying, I have kept you all. Lord, I've kept, he's to his Father, I've kept everyone. Isn't that neat? He says, not one of them, I haven't lost one of them. Okay. Listen, do you not think that is going on right now?
Huh?
Do you know that the Lord is saying, look, I've kept each one of you, not one of you. Isn't that beautiful, Lenore? I have kept him. But then here in John 17, physically he is not there. So he is speaking to his Father, okay? And he is saying, Father, you keep him through thy name. Which we're going to unfold, okay? Then there's verse 13, Philip, and now I come to thee, and these things I speak to the world,
eso en este mundo.
Now, please, like we began today, all these things, seals, open book, us becoming him, okay? It's for this. He wants your joy of, his joy in you to be fulfilled. Is that love? Is that mercy, Sister Karen? Huh? That's what he wants for us. That they might have my joy. My joy is his word fulfilled in us. Fulfilled in themselves. Okay? Okay, then in verse 17. Okay, then he prays, sanctify them through that truth. And then we go to verse 22. We're going to skip some verses here. Okay, and here, now listen, you must understand. He says, I am the Lord, my glory I will not give to another. But then he says this, the glory that you gave me, I have given them. Now the question is, are you going to receive what he gives you? Now, I want you to think about this. The glory, I will not share my glory with another, but I will share my glory with me in a different form. Children, seed, gene, himself. Okay? The scripture can't be broken. It's all ties together. Okay, so that's the prayer. Brings us back to this glory. The essence, the manifestation of all that I am and have. I'm going to give that to you because you're going to manifest the same thing I manifest. And we're going to be so one, not kind of one, perfectly one. Not sort of, kind of. Okay, sort of, kind of, would have, you know, no, that's not it.
No, esta otra, no, perfectamente.
Okay, and then we go to 26. I'm taking two things here, and okay. Now look at this. Name and glory, that's what we're trying to connect. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it. When was his name declared? In the lion age and in the eagle age. Right? When did people really know his name until this day? And who declared it? God did. Okay, speaking of all of this, I just got to go back to one more thing. Who, okay, Revelation 5. There's the book of redemption, and only one could open and loosen the seals. Okay? Nobody. Nobody was worthy. Only the Lamb of God. Okay, so here it always ties us back to mercy, doesn't it? You never forget, but you never forget what he's doing for you too. So here, Brother Branham, every night, okay, I listened all night long. Let's see what the Lamb is going to be opening tonight. Let me ask you a question. Nate, did the Lamb open the first seal? Did the Lamb open it? Anna, did he open the second? Micah the third? Zoe the fourth? Did he open all those? Whose voice did you hear? Whose voice did you hear? The voice of his chosen vessel to speak through. But who was it? It was the Lamb opening the seal. The mystery of God. Okay. Now remember in the seventh seal, people are going to think, I'm going to lose 1,000 friends. Okay. They're going to think, Brother Branham's trying to make too much of himself.
Huh?
Right? This is the uncomfortable part for all of us. Right, Pete? People will, you say, I'm becoming Adam, I'm becoming God manifest. Go say that at work. How to lose friends and disinfluence people, right? Yeah. But the bridal catch. Okay. So the name is the essence of his character. Let's see where that name is declared and how. Let's go to the book of Acts and look at the day of Pentecost. Okay, I just got a couple more scriptures. Can you hang on just for a couple more scriptures? Okay. We're seeing the seals open. We're seeing the mysteries unfolded. It's not intellectual. It's just, what is Jesus doing to break my chains? Okay. Acts 2:36. Here's the Holy Ghost and here's the explanation. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made this same Jesus whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now, his name was declared in verse 38. Okay, now here, we go to Acts 3, and we see Jesus glorified. Here's, we know the wonderful story, Peter and John, on their way to the temple. They see the crippled man, and Brother Branham says, referring to this in the token messages, is there's the token. Verse 6. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have. I want you to think about that. Such as you have. Okay? They knew what they had. Right? Do you know what you have? Daniel, do you know what you have? Huh? And what you have is to be given. Right, Stephen? I know what I have given thee. I know what I have, and I'm giving it to you. Here is the manifestation. Here is Jesus Christ glorified. Is he glorified? Is this Jesus glorified? Let's read down. They come to Peter and John. Here's the nature of human man. Oh, Derek, look what he did. Oh, look at, no. What did they say? Verse 11? Okay. No, 12, I'm sorry. Let's go to the next verse. They came, and let's read it out loud. When Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, ye men of Israel, why marvel at, or why you look ye so earnestly on us as though by our own power or holiness? It's not us. So now, in verse 13, he's telling us what happened. No, not John 3, Acts 3. Acts 3:13. There you go. Let's read it out loud. Here's what happened. The God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and the God of our fathers hath glory. Ah. Hey, Jesus' prayer is answered right there. Glorify your son. The son's glorified. How is the son glorified? When he's in you. Father, keep them through thy name. I'm not here, but I'm in Peter. I'm in Nate. I'm in Micah. I'm in David. There is Jesus glorified. Isn't that beautiful? Uh-huh. There. I love that. What did Jesus pray right before he was here? Glorify thy son. That the son might glorify thee. Here's his representative. Here he is in Karen. You are for the glory of God, dear sister. Uh-huh. God hath glorified Jesus right there in those two men. Okay, now we have to go over to another verse. And look at verse 16. Musicians, you can come. I'm sorry, but I wanted you to see some things and tie these, and we'll get into some quotes next week. How did he get healed? How did this man get healed? God glorified Jesus. Here's a man, and this man says, I know what's in me. I know what I have. I know I'm supposed to give it. And there it is. It's manifest. What's the explanation? God glorified his son. And he's going to say, here's really what happened.
Oh,
his name did it. His name did it. Isn't that awesome? What did he say? Jesus, keep them through thy name. Jesus said to the, keep them through thy name. Thy name is him manifested in a different form. Here he is. There he is in Lenore. Huh? Ready to give. Sister, he has kept you. Nehemiah, he has kept you. Huh? Janelle, don't you love him? Look at what he's kept us through, everybody. Huh? Look how faithful he's been. Look at how wonderful. Huh? Look at what he's done for us. And he's now trying to break all the chains of religiosity so we can become what he's designed us to become. So now let's read this verse all together, okay? It's his name through faith in his name hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know. The faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Here we go. Greg, that's for us today, bro, isn't it? Uh-huh. Do you know what I see? I see people believe in the word in the spite of every circumstance that they can. They're standing strong. Do you know how much that blesses me? Huh? We are unmovable because we have the word of God in our hearts. And that word is not a head knowledge. It's alive. It's him. It's him working. It's him doing. It's him displaying. It's him transforming from glory to glory. Right? Hallelujah. Yeah. Thank you. Stand up with me, would you? In plain view. Yes, he is, isn't he? Thank you. To catch the chosen breath, the ancient draweth nigh. He's the lovely one. Oh, isn't he?
Can we just sing that all over again? Start at the very beginning.
Manifesting, the fruits are on the vine, and the lovely one is coming in plain view. Oh, to cap God's chosen bride, redemption draws nigh. He's that lovely one.
Got to worship him. We just got to lift our hands up. I worship you, Almighty God. You are more. Sing it not. Sing it. I worship you. Sing it from your heart to his.
I worship you, Almighty God. There is none. What I want to do, I give you praise, for you are my rock.
Yes, you're everything we need, Lord.
I worship you, Almighty
Sing it again, please. Thank you, Lord.
I worship you, Almighty God. There is none.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
That is what I want.
Let your word become effective in us who believe, changing us, working in our atoms, in our very fibers of our being. Fill every fiber with your Holy Spirit. Fill us with everything you. And as the baptism of fire works its way through us, burn out the white horse rider, the religious spirit, the black horse, the red horse, the white horse. Burn it all out, Father. Loose the chains that bind us. Set us free, Heavenly Father, to become everything you, what were you designed us to be. Oh, Father, we look at what you went through to become flesh, to be manifest in the prophets, to speak love, to bring mercy, but to be rejected, to be beaten, to be sawn asunder, to be stoned, to be rejected, to die of a broken heart. But now, there's people here today that will mend that broken heart, that will bring healing even to your heart. And say, Father, we believe you. We believe everything that you say, what you do. We are so thankful. Your word is alive. It's spirit. It's truth. It's working. It has transforming power. And it is transforming. And it's transforming me. because it's to bring glory to your name, to exalt you, to lift you up. Oh God, let us be the mending of your heart. No more broken hearts from us. May we be an anointing salve, as even you said. You are the sweet smelling fragrance of Christ to me. Let us be that. We ask all of these things with thanksgiving to you in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. God bless you all.